Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 14. I'm recording it in September of 2008. And the title of this one is Passive Investing is the Most Emotional Investing Approach of All. I started out the way I do these things is I usually start out, I write a title down, and then I scribble some notes. And I sort of riff off of that. I usually do a practice run. And then the second time through is the one I record. With this one, I started out with a different title. It was originally called The Radicalization of Rob Bennett, How I Came to See Passive Investing as the Enemy of the Middle Class Investor. And I may go back and someday and do a podcast more along those lines. The idea there is that I'm not a fan of passive investing. You've probably picked that up if you've listened to any of the earlier podcast. And I'm always thinking about how my words come across to people. And I listen to some of the things I say, and I take very strong positions against passive investing. And so I wonder how that sounds to people who are hearing me for the first time. It's, I don't want it to sound strident. But I have to say what I believe. And as I've explored investing in great depth over the past 6 years, my views on passive investing have gotten stronger and stronger. And today, I really think that's the key to everything. Passive investing is the thing that is holding us all back. Passive investing is just a disaster. That doesn't mean that it always was. I think it is probably true that some of the ideas that were developed during the time the passive investing concept was being developed, well, it's not probably true, it's certainly true. Some of those ideas were very valuable. And some of those ideas I've incorporated into the rational investing model that I advocate. So I don't say that our learning experience with passive investing was all bad. But today, passive investing has become a horrible influence. It holds us back from learning the things we know to invest effectively. And it's become a very dogmatic idea, a stagnant idea, and an anti-learning idea. It's just a disaster. But those ideas were developed over that take on things was developed over the course of 6 years, working this really every day, pretty much 7 days a week. And so what I wanted to do originally with this podcast was to trace how I have come to have such strong beliefs. But I sat down, my boy had Little League last night, and I took him to his Little League game. And I decided to, write out some notes, in between innings. And I started out, I was going to list alarm bells. I had alarm bell one, alarm bell two. And the idea was things that came to my attention over the course of the past 6 years that caused me to, in the beginning, I was not anti-passive investing when the great safe withdrawal rate debate began. I believed that the old school safe withdrawal rate studies were an error. That's all. I didn't connect it with passive investing at the time. But as I started learning things, all these alarm bells went off. And at some point, I had heard enough. And at some point, I had come to trace it to passive investing as being the root problem, the passive investing concept being the root problem. So I changed the focus of the podcast a little bit. And as I was writing out these alarm bells, I ended up with 35 of them. So I'm going to try to go over those. Since there are so many, I'm going to have to just hit the highlights, try to go over them quickly. But I thought that the true focus then was not so much the evolution of my thinking, although that is there in the background, but it's more what is really wrong with passive investing and how did I come to know that passive investing is so terribly flawed. And the key thing is that passive investing is so emotional. I've come to believe it is pure emotion. I used to, you know, the amazing thing about our discussions in the Retire Early and indexing discussion board communities over 6 years has been the people arguing against the old school safe withdrawal rate studies and against passive investing, they've won every argument on the merits. And but the they lose every political power play. What happens over and over and over again is that this small group of intensely dogmatic passive investing advocates just crushes any dissent or any questioning of their viewpoints. And so you just see that play out over and over again. And at some point you say, it's of course, it's all self-destructive. There's no one who benefits from investing poorly. So the people who are defending passive investing, it's not as if they win something, you know, by winning these power plays. They hurt themselves. They hurt everybody else, but they hurt themselves too. And so ultimately, you know, I had to think about that and say, you know, what's going on? And what's going on is that for years, I was trying to put forward, and there were many others involved, but I was the leader. I think it would be fair to say I was the leader in these discussions on the rational investing side. And I was trying to, we were trying to put forward arguments, logic. We were trying to use logic to persuade. And there is nothing, there is no logic to passive investing. So there really is no way to get in there and do battle in a logical, reasoned argument. Passive investing is not an idea, it's an emotion. What passive investing is, we all have within us a get-rich-quick impulse. When we see stocks going up to absurd price levels, our common sense tells us that that can't continue, tells us it's a bad idea to go heavily in stocks when they are overpriced. But our emotions tell us it's a great idea. Our emotion says, get in there. You know, money for nothing. Get your share. You know, it's like so many other things in life. We all know it's a bad idea to eat too many chocolate chip cookies and too many potato chips. Everybody knows it. But we all fall for it from time to time. We all make that mistake because emotionally we get something from those foods. They give us some sort of comfort, and we all have times when we're nervous or upset or bored or whatever it is, and we give in. And so passive investing is the enemy of the middle class investor. Emotion is the enemy. But we want to give in to that enemy. It's an enemy we love. And what passive investing is, what the model is a rationalization for giving in. So what passive investing says is there's no need to change your stock allocation no matter how high prices get. That doesn't make any sense. Obviously, when prices are high, the long-term value proposition has to be low. And obviously, you wouldn't want to have the same stock allocation when the long-term value proposition is low as you would when it was high. But if you repeat it enough times, you know, never time the market, never time the market, never time the market, you come to believe it. This is how television commercials work. You know, they repeat these crazy slogans. And if you watch the show every Tuesday night, you hear it six times every week. And, you know, by the end of a year, you start thinking it's true, whatever the slogan is. So people have come to believe that changing their stock allocation at times of high prices is a bad idea. They don't know why they believe it. And that's why you get this antagonism and anger. If you ask them, why do you believe that? They have no answer. They know that they've heard it 10,000 times and they think it must be right. And ask them a question and you're going to get fireworks. So I need to get through the 35 alarm bells, so I better get going. But the purpose here is to to make the case that passive investing is the most emotional investing approach of all. And that's not something I started out believing. It's something I learned over the 6 years of discussions and piece by piece. I didn't learn it all at once. So I started out, you know, at a great disadvantage. I really didn't know very much. And but as time has gone on, the case has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. And of course, the other side of the story is the antagonism, the desire among the passive investing advocates to block discussion has also become stronger and stronger because their case has become weaker and weaker in the eyes of the community listening into the discussions. So I'm going to go quickly through the 35 alarm bells. The first alarm bell, the first thing that tipped me off that passive investing is the most emotional investing approach of all, and I would not have said that at the time, but it was sort of the first hint that was going to take me in that direction, was John Bogle's book, Common Sense on Mutual Funds, which I read in the sometime in the mid-1990s. And what Bogle does, I think it's a wonderful book, especially the section where he describes where tax, not tax returns, where investment returns come from. And he explains, in that passage, he explains that valuations always affect long-term returns. He says it's a golden rule of investing. In other words, it must be true. It's not a question of opinion. It must be true. And he's right. If you explore that, you'll find that he's right. And that, you know, that at the time I was exploring safe withdrawal rates. I wanted to know how much I was planning a newfangled sort of early retirement. And I wanted to know how much I could take out of my portfolio each year and have that work. And I had been looking at these safe withdrawal rate studies, the old school studies, that do not include an adjustment for the valuation level. And I read what Bogle said, and I said, wait a minute, these studies are wrong. They don't include an adjustment. How could they possibly be right? So in my view, that one alarm bell is enough to make the case. It's rock solid. It's common sense, as Bogle calls it. It is common sense. If valuations affect long-term returns, passive investing defies common sense. Now, I understand that Bogle advocates passive investing. I, of course, understand that. But Bogle also advocates common sense investing. And Bogle also tells us that it's a golden rule of investing that valuations always affect long-term returns. That is in direct conflict with the idea that passive investing could work. If valuations affect long-term returns, the value proposition of stocks is always changing. It's always changing with changes in valuation levels. So to stick at the same stock allocation at all times does not make sense, even according to John Bogle, who was the leading spokesman for the passive investing model. So that was alarm bell one. Alarm bell two came in May of 2002, when I first started posting on the internet, and this was at the Motley Fool site, on my doubts about the old school safe withdrawal rate studies, which, you know, came about as a result of having read Bogle's book. And alarm bell number two is defensiveness. The first response to me when I started the thread that kicked off the great safe withdrawal rate debate exhibited defensiveness. And you know, there have been tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands since, and they've all exhibited defensiveness just over and over and over again like a drumbeat. I remember the very first words that came in response when I put up a post. I forget the exact title of the thread. It was something like, should we consider valuations when calculating the safe withdrawal rate? And the very first words were, hocus, hocus, hocus. You know, hocus is my screen name. So the very first words were this sort of, you know, they weren't abusive. It was said, you know, it was a said in a light spirit. It was totally friendly. But it was like, hocus, hocus. It was patronizing. That's what it was. It was sort of, oh, hocus, you know, you're a nice guy, you're a smart guy, but you don't understand investing. You know, let me take you aside and explain the facts of life to you, my poor boy, you know. That's defensiveness. It's a very funny thing because the defensiveness defensiveness comes about because the passive investors know they have common sense, and many believers in passive investing are very smart people. They're not dumb. So they know, on some level of consciousness, they know that valuations affect long-term returns. So they instantly want to avoid any sort of logical debate. They know that that's trouble. And so they have this wall of protection, defensiveness, that just instantly goes up without them. I don't think it's intentional, really. It just goes up because they're afraid. They're afraid of what they're going to hear, and they're afraid of what thoughts are going to enter their head after they hear the message that they would hear if they didn't put up that wall. Alarm bell number three, indifference. When passive investing enthusiasts are not being defensive, they're being indifferent. I can't tell you how many times in the early days of the discussions at Motley Fool, I did not have numbers at the time. Today I can point you to the historical data. John Walter Research has done, John Walter Research, I called him. John Walter Russell has done wonderful research, and I like to mention his website from time to time because it's the most exciting website on planet Internet. His website is early-retirement-planning-insights.com. Do yourself a favor and check out that website. It's somewhat heavy stuff. He deals in research. He deals in the hard stuff. He's not hocus. He's not mentioning song lyrics. He's got the real stuff, the stuff that really matters. But I'm more of a talker, and he's more of a doer. But it's got a lot of research, and that can be heavy going, but take it in pieces. Take it in pieces. And read the letters to the editor. I think the letters to the editor are just wonderful because you'll be reading about other middle-class investors who have discovered how investing really works and how grateful they are for the first time to have a researcher who is producing research that actually makes sense. What a concept. So go there. But in those days, I didn't have these numbers. I met John on the Motley Fool board. So I did not know him, and I'm not capable of doing those numbers. So I didn't have numbers. I knew from common sense that the safe withdrawal rate studies were wrong, and I knew the direction in which they were wrong, but I didn't know the extent to which they were wrong. And how many times the passive investing enthusiasts came back at me and said, "Are you, why should we do your work for you? If you haven't done the research, we're not going to do it." A lot of these people were numbers guys. They had skills and statistics. And my suggestion was, let's do this together. Let's study the question. And instead of arguing about it, why don't we look at what the data says? And they just put forward this, they don't care. They don't care. Now, why wouldn't you care? You're at a discussion board about investing. You obviously care about investing. Well, it was a retire early board. But obviously, people planning an early retirement care about investing. But they're pretending to be indifferent. They have no interest in doing the research. Again, it's a defense mechanism. It's another form of, instead of being defensive in their comments, they feign indifference. But it's another alarm bell. It's another thing that should tip you off that there's something wrong with this investing philosophy, that people respond to questioning about it in that way. Now, another reaction that you get, alarm bell number four, is when you're not getting defensiveness and you're not getting indifference from passive investing enthusiasts, what do you get? Anger. Lots and lots and lots and lots of anger. Amazing amounts of anger. Check the post archives. I'm not going to quote it here because there might be children listening in. Lots and lots and lots and lots of anger. Just amazing amounts of anger. Now, please understand, this isn't all there are millions of people today who believe in passive investing. Obviously, they're not all filled to the brim with anger. But it doesn't take that many to ruin a discussion board. It appears to me about 10% of passive investors are just filled with anger. And they tend to be, they're not, I don't know that they're filled with anger all day long. They're filled with anger when their views are questioned. So they come off as extremely hostile and are unable to relate to questioning of their investing philosophy in any other way. So the majority are not angry. The majority are, you know, maybe unsure, maybe defensive somewhat, maybe indifferent. But the anger comes out, it usually comes out among the people I call big shots, the people who have had some success with passive investing. They've had good years. They've had good returns. And they brag about it. It's become a big part of their self-image. And, you know, heaven help us if they have a website or if they've written a study or if they've written a book, because then they can't, you know, the thought of being questioned is the end of the world. The world's going to blow up if anyone asks a question about passive investing. So there you get anger, and that's an obvious alarm bell. You know, that's a loud alarm bell. That tells you something's very, very, very wrong. And I've never seen that. I've never seen such anger from people who support other investing philosophies as I've seen among passive investors. And I'm not the only one who says that. There's an article at the website under the Banned at Motley Fool section called Investing Discussion Boards Ban Honest Posting on Valuations. And I have in there 101 little snippets of comments from community members who expressed the desire that honest posting on safe withdrawal rates and other valuation related topics be permitted. And over and over again, you'll see that theme explored. Well, people will say, why so angry? You know, we're talking about investing. Calm down. But they can't calm down. I've never known one of the people who was engaging, you know, exhibiting anger to calm down. They just, it hits them at a deep level. It's their worldview. Passive investing is everything to them. And if you question it, it collapses. And that's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign. Alarm bell number five is enthusiasm. Now, the enthusiasm is not evidenced by the defenders of passive investing. It's evidenced by the majority of the community. 90% of community members have shown enthusiasm for the idea of discussing the realities of stock investing. And if you want to see evidence of that, go to the site. Also at the Bandit Motley Fool section, there's an article called Community Comments on the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate Debate. And those comments were taken from the early months at the Motley Fool board. And people were just wildly enthusiastic about these discussions. It was the first, you know, so many people said to me, Rob, this is the greatest discussion we have ever had. And we had some wonderful discussions at that Retire Early board. I think that was the most exciting board on the internet in its day. And people were saying, this is the best discussion we've ever had. You know, thanks, man. This is the first time anyone has ever explained investing in a way that made sense to me. Thanks for bringing this to the table. So this wild enthusiasm. Now, why is that a sign that there's that passive investing is emotional? Well, in a reverse sort of way, I think it's a sign of that, because there shouldn't be so much enthusiasm. I'm grateful that people were so enthusiastic, but it was sort of weird. It was sort of odd. You know, had people never discussed investing in rational ways before the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate came along? There's sort of like a pent-up enthusiasm there among a lot of middle-class investors. The sense I get reading a lot of those comments, and I read that article from time to time just to familiarize myself with it again, and the sense I get is that there are lots of people, millions of people, who are uneasy with the investing advice they've heard for the past 20, 30 years. There's something about it that doesn't seem right. And they, you know, they don't have the time or the desire to study it in depth, and so they don't know what the problems are with passive investing. But when somebody raises questions, they like that. and they get excited by it. And that's an alarm bell. That's an alarm bell that this pent-up desire for reasoned civil discussion of alternate investing strategies is a sign that there's something wrong with this passive investing business. Alarm bell number six, confusion. The confusion that I have seen on discussion boards about the fundamentals of investing. I'm not talking about the tricky stuff. I'm talking about the fundamentals, the basics. The level of confusion is astounding. It's frightening. Because we've all got our money riding on this. We work at our jobs. We all struggle to save to some extent, some more than others, obviously. We put the money away in savings and we invest it. That's what we do with it. If we don't know what we're doing, you know, see, I was greatly influenced by Your Money or Your Life, the Joe Dominguez book. And what Dominguez did that changed how I thought about money totally is he said, stop thinking about it as little pieces of green paper. Money is the product of your life energy. You give up hours of your life to get that money. That's how you get your hands on it. So when you lose it, you're losing hours of your life. And, you know, that changed everything for me. That was the break point in my life and in my attitude toward money. And, you know, if when we lose money because of bad investing strategies, we're losing bits of our life. That's how I see it. And I think I see it right. So to see the level of confusion that I have seen on the most basic points pains me. I see it as the only thing bright about it is I see an opportunity. If, I'm a writer, that's what I do for a living. So when I see that people don't understand something, I see an opportunity to bring their level of understanding up. And it's hard for me to think of any field in which we can do more good work bringing the level of understanding up than the field of investing. Boy, do we ever need it. But that's a definite alarm bell, the level of confusion that we see among typical middle-class investors, the level of confusion about the fundamentals, the very basics of how investing works. Alarm bell number seven. Alarm bell number seven is the sensitivity test. Now, we started these discussions May 13th, 2002. And as I said, at that time, I didn't know who John Walter Russell was. And John Walter Russell is the person, he's a retired government engineer. And he's the person who has done all of the statistical research that backs up all of the findings we have generated during the first 6 years of the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate debate. And all of the material at my website, all of the investing material is based on that research. So, you know, I obviously owe a great debt to John and every member of the Retire Early community and every member of the indexing community owes him a great debt. You owe him a great debt, whether you recognize it or not. If you're new to this, you don't know it, but this podcast wouldn't be here if it were not for John's work, and the calculators at the website would not be here if it were not for John's work. So if you're prompted by the words in this podcast to study these ideas in more depth, please drop a note to John at some point in your investigations, letting him know that he's saved you a lot of money. He saved you a lot of money by doing legitimate investing research that says things that nobody else today is saying and that we all very, very, very much need to learn about. So please do that. I believe it was on day six of the Great Debate that I had dropped out. You know, I was sickened by the abusive stuff from the very beginning. And in the early days of the discussions, well, early days, I'm talking about the first 5 days. In the first 4 or 5 days, I put up, I would respond to questions. There were hundreds of questions being directed to me, and, I would respond to them to the best of my ability. And it wasn't nearly as heated then as it became later, but it was plenty heated. There was all this defensiveness and anger from the very beginning. And at day five, I had enough. I was sick of it, and I just dropped out of the discussions and wasn't planning to participate any further. But John, I believe it was day six. I believe it was a Saturday. He put out a post, and I forget. There was one called, what were they called? I'm not sure I can remember the titles now. Hocus is Right or something like that. And I'm having a ball. I forget what the titles of the two posts were. But there were two posts where John, instead of all these people arguing and wasting everybody's time, he went to the historical data and just checked. Do valuations affect long-term returns? How about checking? There's an idea. So he did that, and the first thing he did was something called a sensitivity test, and it's some type of statistical technique. I don't know exactly what's involved, but the idea is, I get it conceptually, the idea is you can sort of see how much the numbers change if you made small changes in the inputs, and if the numbers change too much, that's a bad sign. It's a sign that the research isn't very strong, or, I think the word they use is robust. I don't know why they use that word. Some of this stuff makes me smile. But, sensitivity testing is aimed at learning how much confidence you can have in the research. So he did a sensitivity test on the old school safe withdrawal rate methodology. And it came up very, very bad. It was extremely sensitive to changes in the inputs, which indicates you can't rely on it for really anything. And, what an alarm bell. Now, as I say, that was day six. We're now a year six. We're now in year seven, really. So there's a lot of water over the bridge since then. But even then, even on the sixth day, you had a strong evidence that these studies could not be counted on to plan a retirement. And I'll always remember there was a guy who came on. I don't know his screen name, and I don't know if he ever posted other than that one post. I don't recall him being a regular. But there was a guy who understood statistics enough to know what a sensitivity study was and what it meant, what the numbers that John put forward meant. And he said, "You guys are crazy. If you're planning retirements based on studies, that are this weak, you are out of your minds." And I love that comment, because I love it when people cut through all the BS, cut through all the phony baloney posturing, all the egos, and just sort of tell it in plain speak. What's the takeaway? What do I need to know? And that was the takeaway. It didn't mean that the people who did the old school studies were bad people, And I've said many times, I think the old school studies were an important development, because we never would have gotten to the new school studies, which do much better in the sensitivity test. But we never would have gotten to the new school studies if we hadn't first had the old school studies. So you have to learn how to crawl before you can learn how to walk. The old school studies showed us how to crawl, and the new school studies showed us how to walk. And, it should be that simple. See, this is the real point. The real point of this podcast is, it's not to argue these points. I'm mentioning the points, but it's not really to argue them. The point of this is, the title of the podcast is Passive Investing is the Most Emotional Investing Approach of All. I'm not trying to argue here that the old school studies fail the sensitivity test. I'm pointing out that fact because I need to do that as the foundation. But the point is, why didn't that convince people? You see? it's a plain, objective point of fact. Statisticians, you know, statistical people have a test that they use to find out whether studies can be relied on or not. And when you test the old school safe withdrawal rate studies, that and the old school safe withdrawal rate studies are a product of the passive investing mindset, when you test them, they don't cut the mustard. So the natural reaction to that should be, wow, I didn't know that. I almost planned a retirement based on one of these studies. Thanks, man. Thanks for telling me before I put my whole retirement stash at risk. But they don't respond that way. Some do. Some do. And you know, you never know on a discussion board how many people believe something and are afraid to say it. And because the level of hostility among the dogmatic passive investing enthusiasts is so great, so overwhelming, I strongly believe that the number who understand that the sensitivity tests matter and all these other things matter is much, much larger than most people realize. I believe it's probably 80% of the community that understands that. So I don't mean to insult the retire early community or the indexing community when I point out the reactions we saw. The majority is keeping quiet because the majority isn't confident that it understands things well enough to get into a barroom brawl over it. But the majority understands that you can't rely on these old school studies. That comes through in lots of different ways, but it's not spoken as often as it should be, but it comes through in lots of different ways. So the real point here is not to argue that these studies failed a sensitivity test. The point is, why does that not matter to the passive investing enthusiast? That's the thing. That's why it's an alarm bell telling you that passive investing is emotional investing. It's the most emotional investing approach of all. There's no way. we're now looking at my counter here. We're now at what, 37 minutes and 30 seconds. There's no way I'm going to get through all 35 of these in a reasonable amount of time. So what I'm going to do is, I think I'm going to make this part one. Passive investing is the most emotional investing approach of all, part one. And then for the following week's podcast, I'll do part two. So I'll go through a few more of these and then stop. Alarm bell number eight. Alarm bell number eight is the experts. I may still be able to remember the date that I put up. There was a thread I started at the Motley Fool board called What Bernstein Says. And my recollection is that went up August 27th of 2002. So a long, long time ago, more than 6 years ago. But I felt that that was a breakthrough. I knew from common sense that the old school studies were wrong, which means passive investing is wrong, because the old school studies are a product of the passive investing mindset. The passive investing is the idea that valuations don't matter, that you don't need to change your stock allocation in response to changes in valuations. And the old school studies are just studies that tell you what withdrawal rate is safe in retirement, and they do so not making any adjustment for the valuation level that applies on the date the retirement begins. So, you know, that's a crazy thing to do. And intuitively, you would never imagine that the studies would be done in such a way. And the obvious explanation of why they were done that way is that the people who did the first studies believed in the passive investing approach to investing. They believed that valuations don't matter. And that's a product of the efficient market theory. That's the academic theory that is the cause of all this trouble. So I knew that the old school studies failed the common sense test. I knew that going way back to the mid-90s. I knew from the discussions we'd had in May, June, and July, and early August, that the reaction among passive investing enthusiast was emotional, you know, indifference, anger, confusion, defensiveness. So I knew these things. And I knew from John's sensitivity test, he hadn't done all his research at that point, proving, you know, beyond any doubt whatsoever that the old school studies were analytically invalid. But he had done these sensitivity tests. Then he had done some additional research, and the research he had done made a strong impression on me. But at the time, I was very much in need of confirmation. Because, you know, it was me against the world. I mean, it wasn't me alone. There were lots of community members who were interested in having the discussions and who would say, you know, can we stop all this abusive stuff? Can we just allow these discussions to go on? There were lots of people like that. And, you know, there were people like John that, you know, had gone in it deeper and they had looked at the data and said, you know, all indications are that you're right, Rob, you know. But there were these loud people who were banging the table, you know, and their faces were turning red and they were making threats and you know, blood was spurting out of their ears. And they were saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And, you know, a part of me, what I'm describing here today in this podcast is that a part of me said, this proves they're wrong. When people act this way, it's not a good sign, it's a bad sign. When people are so dogmatic and you know, so abusive, it's a sign that they're wrong. And you know, I used to laugh. I would make that point every now and then. I'd say, you know, don't you think you're being a little emotional? And, you know, they'd come back and they'd say, I have no emotions. I am a 100% rational investor. I have no emotions. Don't ever say I have emotions. If anyone says I have emotions, I'll kill them. I'll kill them. You understand? I'll slice them up into tiny little bits, you know, and I'll feed them to my goldfish. I have no emotions. Don't anyone ever say it. And I'd say, okay, buddy, you know, you have no emotions. I got it. Sorry, I made a little mistake. No emotions. But, you know, what do you say to people? What do you say to people when they claim that they're following a rational investing strategy? That's the claim of passive investing, that it's scientific. That's what they claim. They claim that it's scientific. They claim that they can, you know, they claim that the historical data supports them. They claim that they're rational. These are the claims they make. But when you question them, they go ballistic. And they claim they have no emotions. It's you know, it's a great paradox. It's the central paradox of the story. But at the time, because of this, I had confidence that I was right. But when so many people, and some of these were people that I respected from earlier discussions, you know, I didn't consider these people dopes. And you think, and we all have a need for confirmation from our fellow humans. You know, this is a basic human need. This is a big problem with why we have these wild bull markets, wild bear markets, is that we are all greatly influenced by what others do. And again, I'll bring up television commercials. How is it they persuade us? They say, well, you know, 10 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. You know, if you haven't bought an Elvis Presley album, there's something wrong with you. Everybody loves Elvis Presley, right? You know, we're influenced by that. That's not logic. You know, if you were going to make a logical case for Elvis Presley, you'd say, you know, the song has a great beat, you can dance to it, or, you know, his you know, he vocalizes in a way that makes girls cry. You know, these would be logical arguments. But to say everybody else likes them, that's more an appeal to emotion. That's an appeal to emotion. Because we want to be like other people. And so I was influenced by that. And the greatest demonstration of that is, and it's, I marvel at it in a way. It's something to think about, is that on day, I believe it was day four of the discussions, I believe it was Thursday night, I believe the discussion started on a Monday, and this would have been Thursday night, and I can remember, to this day, I can remember sitting in my kitchen at my computer, and when this happened, yeah, I put up an apology at one point. This is very early in the discussions, the first week. And I thought I was right, but there was a group that was just rabid. And as I say, some of them were people that that I had respect for. And there was, I kept going over my post and saying, did I get something wrong? Is there something I'm missing? Because they're acting like I'm wrong, and they're acting like they see something I don't see. So I went over my post with a fine-tooth comb, trying to find, is there something I'm missing? And there was a little caveat. You know, often when you're speaking, you can't include every little point because, you know, the post would never end. But there was a little caveat that I felt maybe I should have mentioned that I didn't. And so that, you know, I sort of thought, well, maybe I should apologize for that. You know, maybe if I apologized, all this would calm down. There would be less friction. There'd be, you know, less defensiveness, and we'd be able to have more rational discussions. So I really talked myself into putting forward an apology. And when I did it, I did not want to put forward an apology that said, I'm sorry, but, you know, you did this, blah, blah, you know, the way sometimes it's done, because I just think that's phony. If you're going to apologize, apologize and shut up. So, you know, I wrote a clear apology. And it, in my own mind, I was not at all sure that I was wrong. I actually believed I was right. But I felt that maybe I'm not 100% sure I'm right. And the right thing to do is to apologize and then step back. And then maybe the community will find its way to understanding what I'm saying is right. And if not, maybe I really am wrong. Maybe I will find my way to seeing that they are right. So I put that up, and you know, that amazes me, because it shows me how it is that a lot of people end up buying into the passive investing model, because the psychological pressure to conform is so great. You know, here I am today. I think it would be fair to describe me as the leading critic of passive investing on planet Earth. I am. I'm not the best known. I'm not saying that, but there's no one who makes who argues more strongly against passive investing. I am stronger than Robert Shiller on that point. So here I am. But only 6 years ago, I had enough doubts that I was able to put out the words, I am sorry, I shouldn't have raised this, And I think about that, because I'm always trying to understand, why are there so many people today who continue to support passive investing or defend passive investing? And I think they are feeling those pressures that I felt back then. And I sort of went through it all at breakneck speed, because I was on a discussion board. I was in a discussion board community, and I couldn't get away from it. It's not like I could just walk away. This was my community. These were all my friends. And, you know, what happened is I put out that apology Thursday night, and Friday morning, John Graney, he was the guy that had done the old school study that was in question here. And, you know, he accepted the apology, which was fine, but then he went right back to this abusive stuff, you know. And when I saw his response, it was as evident as could be. This is a game, and these people that were pretending not to, you know, quote unquote, not understand what I was saying, they understood what I was saying. They may not have agreed with what I was saying. I don't think they agreed with what I was saying, but they understood. They were playing dumb. They were playing games. And of course, that in itself, the fact that they were playing games is an alarm bell. It's a very negative thing that people would feel a need to play games to defend these old school studies, these passive investing studies. But the point is, I have to get to the point, and then I'm gonna close this up, and we'll have a part two coming next week. I was in need of some confirmation, and sometimes you wonder if God's hand is at work in things you do in life. I had never read William Bernstein's book. Well, it had just come out. Bill Bernstein's book, The Four Pillars of Investing, came out April 1st, and this was middle of May. And so I hadn't read it. But on the Motley Fool board, if you go back and you look at the post, my post May 13th, that started the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate debate, the post immediately following that, you know, it came 2 minutes later, whatever, you know, immediately following it was a post by a guy saying he had just read Bernstein's book and he wanted to know what people thought about it. And so, you know, people contributed to that thread. And after we had gotten onto the discussion of safe withdrawal rates, the guy who had put that thread up said, "Oh, I notice that in Bernstein's book, he agrees with Okus. He says the safe withdrawal rate is not 4%, like Graney's study says. It's 2% at these valuation levels." Well, after I got to this point where, you know, I was sure again that I was right, I said, I better get that Bernstein book. And I did. And, you know, I read it, and Bernstein says that. He says it's 2%. He says valuations affect long-term returns, just like I had said, without knowing that he had said it. And, you know, the old school studies are off by 2 full percentage points. Well, that was a big alarm bell in my head that there was something wrong with passive investing, because you had this leading expert. Bernstein is, you know, it's not Rob Bennett. It's not some guy who posts on discussion boards. It's a guy that's, you know, quoted in the Wall Street Journal, well-recognized expert in the field, and he said it. And of course, since then, we've had lots of people say it. Scott Burns has written about the new school studies. You know, Ed Easterling has said that, you know, there are going to be many, many people who are going to be left destitute as a result of the errors in the old school studies, and lots of others. So we've had confirmation from lots of experts, and that made me feel that I was on sure footing, because for a while there, you know, I take this stuff seriously. I joke around, but I don't want to give people bad advice. My worst fear as somebody who writes in the investing and personal finance field in general is I don't want to, you know, there's a big responsibility. If you mess up, you can hurt somebody. And so, I can mess up. Believe me, you know. One of the reasons I like discussion boards is I hope that people will keep me honest. I hope that people will check out what I say. And if I get something wrong, they'll point it out so that I can correct it before it hurts too many people. But so I was nervous. My common sense told me I was right. The reactions from the passive investing enthusiasts told me I was right. Russell's research told me I was right. All these things. But hearing Bill Bernstein say it meant a lot to me. And then afterwards, you know, Scott Burns and Ed Easterling and lots of others. So, you know, now at this point, we've proven the case, right? We've proven the case many times over that the old school studies are wrong. But of course, to this day, not one old school study has been corrected. 6.5 years, not one old school study has been corrected. And instead, what we've seen is a ban on honest posting on safe withdrawal rates at multiple websites, including the Motley Fool website, including the Morningstar.com website, including a good number of others. So those are the things, you know, when I do part two, I'll explore more of these alarm bells. And of course, one of the alarm bells was these bannings, but we only had time for 8. But these are the things that radicalized Rob Bennett. I didn't start out thinking passive investing was the most emotional investing approach of all. I didn't start out thinking passive investing was the enemy of the middle class investor. I started out thinking passive investing was just fine. You know, I love John Bogle. he is one of the biggest influences on my thinking, and he's Mr. Passive Investing. So all what I want you to know from this podcast is all of my inclinations were pro-passive investing to the extent I thought about it at all, and I don't think most people think about it that much. They just go along with it because, you know, the experts are all saying it's a good idea, and I was just like everybody else. But I was dragged kicking and screaming to opposition to passive investing because of what I learned about it, because of how people defend it in the real world. And that's why I'm, you know, the subtitle of the book I'm working on in investing is How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in the Real World. Passive investing works on paper, but it's just a paper theory. But get it into the real world and it doesn't stand up. And that's why, that's what I learned. That's what I learned. And that's why today I feel I learned, you know, I learned through blood. I didn't learn from reading a book that passive investing doesn't work, that passive investing is a sick joke. I learned it in blood. I learned it, you know, on the streets, so to speak, because I questioned it on a discussion board, and I had hundreds of people express great excitement in learning about it, and I had other people trying to crush those discussions, and that should tell you something. So we'll pick this up in the next podcast. We'll have Passive Investing is the Most Emotional Investing Approach of All, Part 2. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.